Appreciate Brother Tommy for the reading of the long text a few moments ago in Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 through verse 21. Seemed like a long reading, but wanted to try to get the context in that reading because it is from verse 16 that we'll take the subject of our study this morning. Galatians chapter 2, and in verse 16 in the New King James Version reads, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified." To justify someone is to pronounce them righteous. It's to declare them righteous. It's to acquit them of their sin. To free them of their sin, to free them the guilt of their sin. It is simply the act of clearing someone of their transgression. God justifies. He pronounces or declares us righteous. The term justification is a term which refers to the overall process of the sinner being made righteous or pronounced righteous. When you study the New Testament, you see such words as just and justice and justify and justified and justification and right and righteous and righteousness. All of those words come from the same root word. They all have to do with one another. So when you read about one being justified in the New Testament, you're reading about one being pronounced or declared righteous. So when you see the word righteous or righteousness, think of the fact that sin had condemned them, but God had justified them, pronounced them righteous. We want to look at this subject of justification this morning. There are several different aspects of justification, all of which, of course, must be considered at the same time, or else one might reach false conclusions regarding the subject. First, we want to note that man is not justified by keeping the works of the law of Moses. We see that clearly in our context. Keeping the works of the law of Moses did not justify one. God did not pronounce someone innocent. He did not acquit them of their sins by keeping the works of the law of Moses. As our text says, no flesh shall be justified by keeping the works of the law of Moses. Galatians 3 and in verse 11. "But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Note the word justified there. The just, that is those who are justified by faith, shall live. Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. So those who are justified have life. They have life, of course, in Christ Jesus. Why? Because they've been justified by faith. They've been pronounced, declared righteous in the sight of God. So if no one is justified by keeping the works of the law of Moses, that means those who depend upon keeping the Ten Commandments contained in the law of Moses are seeking justification by those Ten Commandments. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 13, Moses reminding the people of Israel of the Ten Commandments that they had received. "So I declared to you," that is God declared to you, "his covenant which he commanded you to perform, the Ten Commandments," and he wrote them on two tablets of stone. The covenant which he commanded them to keep contained the Ten Commandments. And so anyone who seeks to be justified by keeping the Ten Commandments in the old law are seeking to be justified by that which cannot justify them. Keeping the works of the law of Moses, keeping the Ten Commandments, will not have God pronounce you righteous. Furthermore, the law which contained the Ten Commandments has been taken out of the way, Paul said, Colossians 2 and in verse 14. "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." And in the first century, when something was nailed to the cross, it was put to death. It was an end put to it. And so it was with the law of Moses. The law of Moses came to an end. In a sense, it was nailed to the cross. It ended. So man should not rely upon it to justify them from their sins. If after one becomes a Christian and he still seeks to be justified by keeping the works of the law of Moses, Paul says he's fallen from grace. Galatians 5 and in verse 4. You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. You've become estranged from Christ. To be estranged is to be alienated and separated from Him. That is, you no longer have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You no longer have an association relationship with Him if you seek justification by keeping the works of the law of Moses. Now, since we are not justified by keeping the works of the law of Moses, we should not hold to some matter of faith and hope which is based solely upon the law of Moses. Why? Because we can't be justified by keeping the works of the law of Moses. God doesn't pronounce us acquitted of our sins. He doesn't pronounce us or declare us righteous by keeping the works of the law of Moses. If man could keep the works of the law of Moses and be pronounced righteous in the sight of God, then there would have been no need for Christ to die on the cross. Think about that. If God would justify one by keeping the works of the law of Moses, why did Christ die on the cross, and why did the new covenant replace the old covenant? There would have been no need if one could be justified by keeping the works of the law of Moses. So first and foremost, in regard to the justification of man, man is not justified by keeping the works of the law of Moses. What we learn from the New Testament is that man is justified by the grace of God. By grace, I mean by God's divine favor, unearned and unmerited. It's His kindness and goodwill directed toward man. Romans 3 and in verse 23, Paul said, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I want you to note that. Man stands condemned as a sinner because all have sinned. Now, condemnation and justification are opposites. Man is condemned by his sins, but he's justified by God. So condemnation on one hand, justification on the other hand. So all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Note this, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Note that, through the redemption. Redemption, liberation from sin, acquittal from sin, is found in Christ Jesus. And what is that? It's justification. That's what it is. We've been justified. Justified by the grace of God. In Titus 3 and in verse 7, that having been justified by grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So first and foremost, we're justified by the grace of God. God has shown His divine favor toward us. He has justified us. But justification by the grace of God is provided by Jesus Christ. Acts 13 and verse 38. "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren," Peter said, that or Paul in Antioch of Pisidia during his first evangelistic journey. "Therefore, let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins." Note that. The forgiveness of sins. What is that? Well, when God forgives our sins, He justifies us. He pronounces us righteous. "And by Him, everyone who believes is justified, pronounced righteous, declared righteous from all things from which he cannot be justified or pronounced righteous by the law of Moses." Remember, to be justified is to be pronounced or declared righteous by God. So when one is justified by the grace of God through Jesus Christ, it is because he has been acquitted of his sins. He has been pronounced righteous by God. So Christ provides this justification for us. Christ became the agent of our justification by His obedience to the will of the Father to die on our behalf. Romans 5 and in verse 18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in, note this, condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification for life. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be, note this, made or declared righteous. Do we not see what justification is? When one is justified, he's declared or made righteous. So again, as we saw in our study this morning, sometimes words are used in the New Testament and then they're defined in the very context. Justification is being made or declared righteous by God. That justification came and was provided by Jesus Christ through His obedience to die for the sins of mankind. Thus Christ became our agent for our justification through His obedience. But He became our agent for our justification, of course, through the shedding of His blood, through His death. Romans 5 and in verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. We were justified by His blood. That is, through His death on the cross, through the shedding of His blood, brings about our justification. Do we not see how this works? We're justified by the grace of God. God justifies us by His grace by providing the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf to die for our sins. And in His obedience and going to the cross and dying for our sins, He became our agent of justification. It was not only through His obedience and through His death that He became our agent for our justification, but it was also through His resurrection. In Romans 4, in verse 25, in the English Standard Version, who was delivered up for our trespasses and was raised for our justification. I chose the English Standard Version over the New King James Version because it reads, who was delivered up because of our trespasses and was raised because of our justification. The King James Version reads like the English Standard Version. And they got it right. The preposition's translated for here. It is the same preposition in both cases, but in the New Testament that preposition is translated and understood in different ways. And so Christ was delivered up for our trespasses. He was delivered up for our trespasses, that is, on behalf of our trespasses. He was delivered up for our sins, on behalf of our sins. He became a sin sacrifice for us. And He was raised for our justification, that is, in order to bring about our justification. That's the idea in those prepositions. So Christ justifies us by or through His grace. He provided Jesus Christ, who through the obedience to God, shed His blood on our behalf. And He was raised from the dead to bring about our justification. Since Christ died for all men, as the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 2 and in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone or for every man. So since Christ died for every man or for everyone, are all men then justified? Think about it. Paul tells us in Titus 2 and in verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation to all men has appeared. Remember that word appeared, has become fully known. The next verse says it teaches us. So the grace of God, remember, we're justified by the grace of God. The grace of God that brings salvation or justification to all men has become clearly and fully known. And it teaches us. So since we're justified by the grace of God and Christ has died for all men, are all men then justified? Christ has died and He's been raised from the dead. Are all men then justified? Of course not. Why is that? Why are all men not justified? If God justifies us by His faith, by His grace, through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The answer to that is that man also has a part in his justification. Man's part in his justification is faith and obedience. Remember, to be justified is to be pronounced or declared righteous in the sight of God. So man is justified through his faith and obedience. God justifies us by His grace, but man has a part in his justification. It's not all of God and none of man. Man must believe and obey. Now, when we talk about obedience, we're not talking about works or acts of obedience that is devised, formulated, and hatched by man. Because Paul speaks of that in Titus 3 and in verse 5 when he said, not by works of righteousness which we have done. Works of righteousness here in the context is our own works of righteousness or right doing. We don't devise, hatch, or formulate a plan by which we can be justified. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom or which He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Man simply cannot formulate or hatch his own plan by which he can be justified. We can't come up with a list of works that we must engage in order to be justified by our works. That means we have to follow God's plan for justification. If God justifies us by His grace, He must have given us a way by which we can be justified by His grace. Well, He did. He gave us Jesus Christ. And through faith in Him and obedience to His will, we can be justified. Romans 1 and verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. Note this, for in it, that is in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. Now we just looked at this a week or so ago. God's plan for making man righteous is revealed in the gospel. Remember what justification is. Justification is being pronounced righteous. To justify one is to pronounce or declare them righteous. So God's plan for making man righteous is revealed in the gospel. That means God's plan for the justification for man is revealed in the gospel. God's plan for making man righteous comes from His plan to justify man. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed. Note this. From faith, that preposition is out of a body of doctrine and teaching referred to as faith, to faith, that is in order to produce faith. So the gospel, the faith, produces subjective faith, our personal belief in Jesus Christ. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed. God's plan for making man righteous is revealed in the gospel out of a body of doctrine and teaching referred to as faith in order to produce faith. As it is written, note this, the just shall live by faith. Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. The just, note in the context, the just are the righteous. The just are those who are justified. Get that? Look at the words. Remember I said the words just and justify and justified and justification and right and righteous and righteousness all come from the same root word. When we speak of man being made righteous, we're speaking of the fact that he's been justified, declared, pronounced righteous by God. And so the just, those who are justified, those who are righteous, how? By faith, shall live. They'll have life. Spiritual life, eternal life. So we must follow God's plan by which we can be made righteous. His plan by which we can be made righteous is His plan by which we're justified in His sight. Galatians 3 and verse 11, we noted this earlier, but note the quote from Habakkuk 2 and in verse 4 again. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the justified by faith shall live. They'll have life. Do we not see the same context of this? Do we not see how justification brings about one's righteousness being pronounced or declared right in the sight of God? Remember the Jews of Paul's day, Romans 10 and verse 1. Where Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, they were ignorant of God's plan by which they could be made righteous. They were ignorant of God's plan by which they were justified. The unbelieving Jews of Paul's day thought that justification, remember, came by the works of the law of Moses. That's why he wrote the book of Galatians. to declare that man is not justified by keeping the works of the law of Moses. But what did the unbelieving Jews of Paul's day do? They didn't have a knowledge of God's plan by which they could be justified. They did not have a knowledge of God's plan by which He could pronounce or declare them righteous. And so what did they do? They set out to seek to establish their own righteousness. And they have not submitted to the righteousness of God. They set out to establish their own plan by which they could be justified, pronounced righteous. And they would not submit or obey God's plan. Now we have the same thing in the denominational world today, do we not? A lot of people come up with their own plan, their own scheme of how they can be made righteous, how they can be justified in the sight of God. But they must follow God's plan, because He has a plan. Now, some people think, well, I can justify myself in my own conscience. But Paul said, no, you can't. 1 Corinthians 4 and in verse 4. For I know nothing against myself, Paul said, yet I am not justified by this. But He who judges me is the Lord. The Lord is the one who justifies. I'm not justified by my own conscience. I might have a clear conscience in regard to many things that are contrary to the will of God, as Paul had a clear conscience in regard to putting Christians to death before he came to believe that Jesus Christ was truly the Son of God. He did all things in good conscience, cast his vote to have many Christians put to death. But his conscience doesn't justify him, nor does our conscience justify us. God justifies us by His grace, through our faith and obedience to His will. So man justifies himself by faith. Romans 5 and verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith justifies us. But what kind of faith is it? It's a faith that causes us to obey, become obedient to God's plan by which we can be justified or made righteous. Galatians 3 and in verse 8. And the Scriptures foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel of good news to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all nations of the earth shall be blessed. Genesis 12 and verse 3. So we're justified by faith that obeys. Man justifies himself. But if he's not willing to believe in Jesus Christ as a Son of God to the point that it moves him to obey, he cannot be justified. So man justifies himself by faith, but not like most of the denominations say, that he's justified by faith alone. Remember, that's what Martin Luther taught back in the 1500s. That man was justified by faith alone. And he even perverted the Scriptures. Romans 3 and verse 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law, Paul said. But what did Martin Luther do? He came along and taught that man was justified by faith alone. Faith only. And he added the word alone to the text. And now people today in the denominational world cry out the Latin term, sola fide, by faith only. But man is not justified by faith only. Just think about it. The demons believe but yet tremble. Are they justified? Satan knew that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God. In Matthew's account, when And Jesus was tempted by Satan, and Satan said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. That little word, if, doesn't mean that Satan doubted he was deity. Satan knew that he was deity. Who could change stones to bread but God only? Since you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. We're not justified by faith alone, regardless of what so many in the denominational world says. Faith by itself does not save. Man is justified by faith indeed, but not by faith alone or faith only. Man justifies himself by keeping the works of obedience which God requires of him. In James 2 and in verse 20 and following, James says, "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" Look at that. The one who believes in faith without works is foolish in the eyes of God. God calls you foolish. Faith without works is dead. It has no power. Was not Abraham our father, note this, justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Remember, God told Abraham to take your son, your only son Isaac, go to a mountain that I will show you, and there offer your son as a burnt sacrifice on the altar. What did Abraham do? Abraham obeyed God. It was a work which God required him to do. He commanded him to do it, and Abraham did it. Thus he was justified by his faith, by his trust and confidence in God. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? The answer to that is absolutely yes. Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect, faith was made complete? Faith is incomplete without works. Without works of obedience which God requires, faith is incomplete. James 2 and in verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, know this, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. What was accounted to him for righteousness? His faith that obeyed was counted to him as righteousness. That is, God declared or pronounced him righteous by doing what he said. Surely we see that. And he was called the friend of God. Verse 24, you see then that a man is justified by works, and not by faith only or faith alone. But yet so many denominations today cry out, again the Latin term, sola fide. By faith alone, by faith only we're saved, we're justified. No, the Bible clearly teaches contrary to that. James 2 and verse 25, likewise was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Faith without works is without power to save. So man justifies himself by faith, but he justifies himself by faith that obeys. In Romans 2 and in verse 13, Paul said it this way, for not the hearers of the law are just or justified in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. Do you see in that context how to be just and to be justified are the same? They're synonymous. To be just in the sight of God is to be righteous in the sight of God. To be righteous in the sight of God is to have been justified by God. And one is justified by God when he does what God tells him to do. As a matter of fact, those who cry out by faith alone, they believe that no works of obedience is included in man being justified. But Jesus said faith itself is a work. John 6 and in verse 28, the people of Jesus' day asked him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him who sent me. To believe in God is a work. Faith is a work. So those who cry out by faith alone or faith only and believe no works of obedience are involved, they exclude faith. They simply do not know what they're speaking about. Man justifies himself by faith that obeys. Man justifies himself by getting into a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When man comes into that relationship with his Lord Jesus Christ, he's acquitted of his sins. His sins are forgiven. God pronounces him righteous. God justifies him in that relationship. 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse 11, and such were some of you, but you were washed. They were washed from their sins in baptism. But you were sanctified. They were set apart and consecrated to God, made holy in baptism. But you were justified. Note that. Justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by, more literally, in the Spirit of our God. I say in because read the New American Standard Version and other versions render the preposition in. It's the same preposition that's translated in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Spirit. That's what's under consideration. But note where we're justified. Now, I've said in times past that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ means by His authority. But as I studied this, I come to recognize and realize I was making a terrible mistake in regard to what's under consideration. We're washed in the death of Jesus Christ in baptism. We're sanctified, set apart, and consecrated in Christ when we're baptized into Him. And the same thing is true. We're justified when we get into that relationship. Pronounced not guilty, declared and pronounced righteous in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and in a relationship with the Spirit. We see that same thing mentioned in Matthew 28. Matthew 28 and verse 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Note this. Baptizing them in, literally into the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. So we're baptized into relationship with the Godhead. I want to suggest to you that's what's under consideration here. We're washed, sanctified, and justified in the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit. Just as indicated here in Matthew 28 and verse 19. Romans 6 and verse 4, therefore we were buried with Him through baptism, where? Into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So we're buried with Christ into His death. Our burial into His death is a baptism into His death. We're immersed in the watery grave of baptism, and we put that old man of sin to death. Remember, condemnation on the one hand, justification on the other hand. We stand condemned as sinners. In order to get rid of that sin, we must, through faith and obedience, submit to water baptism for the remission of our sins, so we can be justified. Thus, we're baptized into the death of Jesus Christ. Remember, He died on our behalf, and He was raised for our justification. Even so, we should walk in newness of life. That is, we have new life when we come up out of that watery grave of baptism. Thus, we've been justified. Romans 6 and in verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. When we're freed from sin, we're liberated, we're set free. We're acquitted in the sight of God. We're forgiven of our sins. We're pronounced and declared righteous. Romans 6 and verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of what? Slaves of righteousness. Because they were declared righteous. They were justified by God in submitting to water baptism to have their sins remitted again. Man justifies himself through a faith that obeys. He justifies himself in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1 and verse 7, in Him we have what? Redemption through His blood. Redemption is deliverance, liberation, freedom from our sins through His death on the cross. Paul refers to it here as the forgiveness of sins. So if we have the forgiveness of sins in Christ Jesus, what do we have in Christ Jesus? We have the fact that we're justified in Christ Jesus. We have the fact that God has pronounced, declared us righteous in Christ Jesus. But remember, we don't come up with these works of righteousness that saves us. We don't come up with some plan. We don't formulate it. We don't concoct it. We don't make up a list of works by which we can be justified. There's a world of difference in doing that than working works of obedience which God requires. God requires faith, repentance, confession, and baptism in order for you to be justified. You can't come up with your own list of works. You cannot concoct them in your own mind, dream them up. We must follow the works that God requires and demands of us. Remember, God has a part in us being justified. He justifies us by His grace. He provided the Lord Jesus Christ and His death on the cross that we might be justified. But we have to partake of that justification through our faith that obeys. And so the whole process of justification is of God, even that which He requires of us. Romans 8 and verse 33. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. God justifies us. But we also recognized and realized in the New Testament, man justifies himself through faith. Man justifies himself through obedience. So how could it be said that God justifies? Because God has provided everything necessary for our justification. His grace extended to us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and His works of righteousness that we must engage in, that we must obey. Faith, repentance, confession, and baptism. Thus, justification is of God. My question this morning is, have you met God's requirements for Him to justify you? Have you met God's requirements for Him to declare you righteous? What is God's requirements? Believe that Jesus is the Lord Jesus Christ, whom He declared Himself to be. Believe that He is deity, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Him as the Son of God. Submit to water baptism. Put that old man of sin to death. Get into a relationship with Christ Jesus. Get into a relationship with the Godhead. And then you can be called a son or child of God. Galatians 3:26. For you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So if you're willing to meet God's requirements to get into Christ, you're willing to meet His requirements to be pronounced righteous. You're willing to meet His requirements for Him to justify you. If you're here this morning and you've not done that, our desire is that you will do that this hour. If you're a child of God, having been justified in times past, but now have sin in your life, repent of that sin. Confess that sin to God, and we'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that is selected.